Welcome to the Leadership Forum.
We call this the Leadership Forum,
where we discuss leaders and followers.
It's not a political trick.
This episode is a repeat of the live session that happens on Monday's mid-morning show with Omboy Mboro. The Leadership Forum.
Leadership Forum, only on Hope FM.
Listen and live.
And back to the Leadership Forum. We are talking about, for the last time, I think it's the last of a series about good manners. That's in dignity of leadership or dignity in leadership. And Bishop David Oginde with us today, as well as every alternate Mondays. So, Bishop, let me just tell you that some people agree with what you have said on a number of things. Yes. Can I read for you this one? It's Simon. Simon says, it's funny because Kenyans have this attitude that it is better for them to cause a gridlock than allow someone to pass and they follow. It's just a selfishness in us, which is growing in an exponential manner. It is so, so sad. And God help us, praise Simon there. And this other one says, "Aye, Bishop and Omboy, they even jumped the COVID queue."
I wonder what that means. Did they die?
No. I think he means when we were queuing
for vaccination,
for tests. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
It is not nice.
Important Kenyans will not wait. And all, that is all of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All Kenyans.
So a leader that jumps the queue, we have a problem. It's part of not being good mannered.
It's not good mannered.
Yes.
Always think of yourself on the other side. How would you feel when somebody jumps the queue ahead of you? That's always what I was in my ethics class back in Bible school in many years ago. It's a principle or a formula or whatever you want to call it that our professor told us that stuck with me.
Mm.
Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place?
No.
That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct. It may not be a Bible thing, it may not be a moral thing, but if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? So if everybody jumped the queue the way you are jumping, would we be at a better place? If everybody spoke the way you are speaking, would the world be a better place? And I found it so profound because it helps me to reflect before I do certain things.
Mm.
Yeah. Because what we always assume is that I'm the only one doing it, and therefore it is okay. So when I'm jumping a traffic jam queue, I'm the only one jumping, and I'm going to go ahead of everybody else. That's okay. What if all of us did the same? Would we all get there faster? And that's what causes the gridlock.
Yes.
And
sometimes stampedes.
Yes. If everybody is calling everybody foolish, stupid, etc., would we be in a better world, society, you know? But when I'm doing that, I imagine that I'm the only one who is observing that this person is stupid, you know? What if somebody called you that? How would you feel? So that, it's almost how many years? Close to 30 years? Since I was taught that, but it stuck with me. Just remember, if everybody did what I am doing or I want to do, would the world be a better place? If the answer is yes, go ahead and do it.
Mm.
Set an example for others.
Tuck that question at the back of your mind.
If no, then restrain.
All right.
Refrain from whatever it is that you are going to do.
Okay.
Because it is not making the world
a better
place.
And it should matter to each one of us whether we are making the world a better place.
We have only one world.
Yes.
We have only one world. And if every one of us chips away a little from it, it will eventually collapse. Yeah. Huge rocks are brought down by just chipping away, kidogo kidogo too.
Why can't someone tell President Putin of Russia what you just said? Because it was...
It is true.
Everybody just started...
raiding every other country. Your neighbor.
And destroying cities.
Would it be a better place? Let me say that I don't like the idea of mentioning Putin because it does something in my spirit that is really bad. You know, I mean, I'm part of a global network of senior church leaders across the world. Across the world. And we have this WhatsApp group that we share, we pray, we do things. And this, this last Saturday, this pastor from Brazil, they are working on evacuating some of the people from Ukraine. And they are doing an excellent job. I tell you, there are people and there are people in this world. They have purchased apartments.
Wow.
And they are bringing these people from Ukraine and getting them into apartments, you know.
In Brazil.
In Brazil. Blocks and blocks of apartments. So on Saturday, he posted this graphic video. And I think it was good to be posted. It's the kind that you should not post or forward or, you know, see it in news. But you may have heard that Russia bombed a railway station.
Yes, that one is in news.
Is in news.
Yes.
Among the people who are there was groups of families that were being evacuated by this church to be taken to apartments that have been purchased for them. And so he showed us this video of these people strewn all over the place with their belongings and everything. It was so bad. It was really, really bad.
The people they were waiting for.
The people they were waiting for had been bombed at the railway station as they were going to take this train to go to safety, where people have sacrificed their resources, their monies to purchase apartments, to rent apartments for these families to find a place to stay in. But on their way, the station is bombed. They were all killed. I just thought, no matter what justification there may be for that war, it is not right for anyone to kill innocent people. You see kids' bodies, women all over the place, men, you know, their brains blown off, their luggage strewn over the place. It is very bad. It is very bad. It's bad manners. It's worse than bad manners. They did. They are doing it. So tell me why we blow our train station, blow up a train station? I don't know. What you gain out of it? So I don't know how I got to Putin.
It's because you mentioned him. What he's doing, every one of us began doing that. Every leader began
looking for his own neighbors were to do that to him, to Russia, would he feel it's okay?
Bishop, today I have learned the antidote for being silent. I'm a victim of silence when I'm angry. Instead of remaining silent and then letting anger boil within me, I should just say, do you know that Jesus loves you? Ruben is writing in Waka. Okay, Ruben. And then there's this one who says that hiyo kujump line, especially a supermarket, nishida tupu. It moves after you jump. And then he says the Eastern bypass drivers should hear this. There has been major gridlock due to impatience and overlapping. Eastern bypass.
And it's supposed to be a bypass to help us to go faster.
I know. And then someone puts in that, you know, that emoji that has someone really thinking. The face is like really thinking.
Yes.
So this one says, in deep thought, if everybody threw litter like me, would the environment in the neighborhood be a better place? A question to keep at the back of your mind. And finally, and we get back to where we had left it, that story of Russia bombing a railway station. It makes me tear in my spirit. Didn't say their name. That situation is just...
it's really bad.
One of the saddest things we've watched in our world in contemporary times. Well, let's go ahead. We were to talk about constructive politeness. That is a title I had written just before we got on the break. Is that where we were going?
It's coming.
All right.
So the question that we ask ourselves then, what must we do? What must we do? So I'll just give a few thoughts on how we can overcome this thing of bad manners. Most of it I've already said, but let's people like lists.
Yes, I personally do.
I know. You say
it
now we're in number three.
It gives me a handle to remember.
Yes. So yes. Let's have a list. I'll give you a list of three or four things that we can do. Nothing profound, but something that you can remember. Number one is learn and practice. All virtue is learned through education, like what we are doing now. This is education. Mm-hmm. Some of us may not have known some things. Some of us may have known, but have not thought about them. But then beyond learning is practice. So you learn them, you experience them, but they are perfected through intentional practice. So if there's something that we may have said today that you are a victim of, is it a victim? It is the other way.
Culprit.
A culprit.
Yes.
Yes, victim is the other person.
Mm.
If you're a culprit, maybe you jump lights, you speak rudely, or you do things that are not right. Why don't you decide that from today I'm going to do things differently? I'm going to try this out. By the way, if it has been a habit that you are in, it takes a while for you to change. But just decide how to break a habit is to go one day at a time. Don't tell yourself the next 1 year I'm not going to do this. You will fail. You will not get out of it. The way to break a habit is one day at a time. Just say, today I am not going to jump any queue. When the day ends and you have not jumped any queue, do you know that day is gone?
Yeah.
And you have succeeded. Tomorrow, do the same. Today, I'm not going to jump any queue. Whether it is traffic, whether it is in the food queue, whether it is in a service office where people are queuing for something, you are renewing your passport or something, just tell yourself, today, between the morning and the evening, I'm not going to do this. If it is something about what you say, how you talk, today I'm not going to use that word. Today I'm not going to react, you know, like our brother Ruben said. Just one day. Don't commit yourself to 3 months. Or 4 months or 3 weeks, just one day. If you succeed in that one day is gone. Because we only live one day at a time.
And I think, Bishop, I'm actually recalling a specific incident. And it involved believers. Let's call it jumping a queue because
It's what we are discussing. Yes.
What surprised me, because I observed that whole process, that specific incident, is that there seemed to be a sense in which these believers left feeling like they were proud, like they had achieved something, like jumping the queue had made them like
better
it was
people.
A reward.
It is. By the way, it is, because when I jump a queue, and let's clarify, there's a difference between overtaking and jumping a queue.
No, it's different.
It's different.
Yes.
If we are all moving and we are all going and somebody is slow, you overtake.
Yes.
But if we are all stopped because the traffic is not moving, there's a problem somewhere, that is called jumping the queue. It's not overtaking.
Mm.
Because you're not overtaking to anywhere. We are all waiting. So that's a difference. Does it pay? Yes, it does.
That's a problem.
It does pay. You will definitely be ahead of us. You will definitely arrive before us. And so is all sin. All sin pays.
But the wages is not good, according to the Bible.
The ultimate wage is not good, but the momentary wage. Think of anything, sexual immorality. Does it pay? You feel good for that moment. You feel satisfied that you have done it. But ultimately, it doesn't. So sin is pleasurable. When you have jumped that queue, you will feel good.
Like a weekend party.
yes. So we can't say that when you have jumped the queue now, we will pass you. We won't pass you. You'll have gone. You know? We, of course, for us, we'll be praying that something happens and we pass you.
So there is a momentary feeling of achievement.
Achievement, satisfaction. Those guys are foolish. Why were they in the queue, you know? For us, we are wise.
You feel wise.
Yes, you feel wise. You feel clever, you know?
Ah.
Yeah, yeah.
A very lovely feeling.
It's there. It's there. Let's not deceive ourselves. It pays. We will find you in Mombasa 2 hours later. You know, for those of us who waited. You say, no, yeah, I arrived. I've already eaten. You know, I've got my room.
So how do we address that? Because then as long as that behavior has a... Even though temporal,
does
reward.
Theft pay?
And some people get, yeah, temporarily. Some
it's not different. Sometimes it's not that temporarily.
Wealthy.
You know, you steal somebody's money, you go and build a house. Do you have a house? Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Does it make it okay? No,
no.
It doesn't. So the fact that you have gained does not make it good. The fact that you take bribes and you have been able to develop your home and build for your mother a house and, you know,
very
all
important.
Very important things,
yeah,
doesn't make it right. The fact is that you stole somebody's resources to do this. Does sin pay and reward? Yes, it does. But ultimately, there's judgment, because the wages of sin is death. So let's not pretend that, you know, you will never get anywhere. No, you get.
So what's the judgment? What's the judgment for bad manners?
The judgment for bad manners, we talked about it, I think, in our last session. Mm. If you are a leader, you undermine your leadership.
Okay.
There gets to that point where people don't take you seriously. where people will not follow you, and ultimately where you lose your leadership. It just happens. Yeah, ultimately. Because you can't be bad manners all the time and people follow you. People will follow you as long as they have no options. As soon as the option comes, they will leave. It has been said that people leave leaders, not organizations. So if you're a bad leader, people will leave you and they will go and find another place. So for an individual, I don't know whether I should say this on air, but there's a time many years ago, pre-mobile phones.
Okay.
I think
a long time ago.
It's a very long time ago, okay, for some people.
It's in the public domain.
Maybe I've even said it here, but I've said.
Uh-huh.
So we had a house phone that broke down or got disconnected or whatever it is. It was not working. So we reported that this phone is not working. Then we were told it has been disconnected for lack of payment. On average, we used to pay about 700 shillings per month for our calls. So when I found out, I was told, you have 1,200 shillings that you have not paid. So I said, no, our bill cannot get to that level. They said, this is the bill you have. I said, please check, because our normal bill is about 700 shillings. Anyway, to cut the long story short, they could not, until we pay, they could not restore our phone. The following month, I got a bill. It was 2,000 and something. The following month, I got a bill that had gone to 5 something.
Oh, wow.
By the time, after a while, this thing was into 30,000 and so on. Remember, all this time, our phone is off.
Because it's not yet connected.
It's not yet reconnected. So I went to the telephone office to find out what could actually be going on. My phone has been off for the last several months, but the bill keeps rising. Actually, by that time, it was 120,000.
No.
In those days, that is like 1.2 million or something of today. So when I went to this office, and because I was told to go to this office, now this was a headquarter issue, so I was taken to headquarters, go and see so and so. I went to this person, and finally I got to see him. So I told him, this is my problem. So I explained exactly what I've said. This thing started rising. My phone has been off for this many months. Now it's at 120,000. I don't know what is happening. So he looks at me and, maybe you're running a bureau.
Oh.
I was so angry. I wish I remembered Butler. I could have told him, don't you know Jesus loves you?
Yes. Wow.
But he was not joking. He was serious. You know, there are people who run bureaus. They tap the phone somewhere and then they say that their phone is off. Kumbe, you are doing something. So maybe you are running a bureau. I said, my friend, first of all, I'm a Christian. I would not do anything like that. Oh, Christians do those things. He was so rude. I was so angry. So I told him, you know, my friend, what you do not realize is that when my phone is working, I pay money that pays you. But because you do not see a direct connection between my paying the money for the phone and you being paid, because you are a monopoly, that's why you can talk to me like that. But a time is coming that you will look for me when other ways of making phones will come. I had no idea. Yes. That was like saying Kenya Power, there can be another way of getting power other than through Kenya Power. You know, there was nothing like that. Believe you me, within a year,
wow,
the mobile phones came.
Wow.
And where my wife was working, She was given a phone. She was among the first Kenyans to get a phone, a mobile phone in this country. You know, when a line was 75,000 shillings.
Wow.
And a phone was 200,000 shillings. She got one of those huge things.
I remember.
Yes.
Very huge.
You know?
Wow.
And then before long, what was it called at that time? You know, it has changed.
I think Kensel.
Kensel or something, you know, came on board. And the next time, Safaricom started. And so the mobiles were becoming prevalent. These people wrote to me and said, we have written off your bill and we are willing to to reconnect your phone. I said, yeah. God bless you. But that reality, which I had said at that time, actually happened. You and I know that the telecom company in this country literally collapsed. Literally. And people are laid off. I hope this guy was laid off. No. God loves him.
Don't you know God loves
you? But you see, as a leader, you may think you are invincible, and you therefore you can speak rudely to your followers. You can mistreat the people who work with you and for you or under you. And you think it's okay because you are the leader anyway. That can only be there for a while. A time is coming.
Yes.
When they will find alternatives.
And they will go.
And they will go. Or you will go. Yeah. So always remember that.
Wow.
It doesn't pay in the long run. Be nice and polite and kind to with the people that you are serving with. Learn and practice. Number two, be virtuous. Politeness is a pain-free virtue. It costs you nothing. In fact, it adds value to yourself. You know, when you are kind to people, you get immediate reward, not from the people that you have been kind to, but you just feeling nice. Try it out. Let somebody come to you when they are even rude or angry or whatever, and you choose you want to just be kind to them and polite to them. It leaves you feeling so nice with yourself. Mm. You know?
You did the right thing. The feeling of doing the right thing
and doing good to somebody who does not deserve it. It just leaves you happier. It makes all these stresses of life are taken away from you, these ulcers, and also you go home and sleep nicely.
Yes.
But when you are rude to people, you go home and your head is spinning because you're stressed up. So it's a virtue. Such be virtuous. Number three, use manners for influence.
What do you mean?
Good conduct, good behavior, good manners, politeness, and all those things we have been talking about are great tools for influencing in leadership. If I come to you and say, Wamboi, do this, you know, in a very rude way, you may do it because I have authority over you, but you may not do it nicely. If I come to you politely and say, Wamboi, I was wondering whether you could assist me with this work here.
Consider it done.
Consider it done. Wamboi goes and does it happily.
Of course.
Of course. Mm. So what have I done? I have influenced you to do this thing, which sometimes may not even be something that you enjoy doing, but just because of the way I have come to you, you feel I will do it. It's influence. So use good manners, politeness, all those things to influence your leader, your members. Number four, respect others' dignity. Determine to show regard for other people's dignity. Determine, just respect the people who come you come into contact with and treat them.
Mm.
As you do that, we come to the number five, which we said, practice constructive respect. Constructive respect, which we talked about earlier, is actually among the, what you remember when we talked about political skills?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the political skills. Constructive respect is showing people that you respect them, you honor them, you care about them, even if you don't.
Where did you say that?
That's why it is constructive. That's why you say, don't you know Jesus loves you? That's constructive respect. Because in real sense, you could give this person a piece of your mind. But you have chosen that you're not going to do that. That's why it is called constructive. Because you have, what can I say?
Mm.
You have chosen to act good in a place where anybody would understand if you didn't. Doesn't make sense?
But that's different from showing people you care even when you don't. That's different.
Because what kind of people would you care about?
As a leader, I want to believe I'm supposed to care for all of the people.
You are supposed to, but what kind of people would you care about? Would you actually care about?
I'm a Christian.
Don't spiritualize. Just be normal. Most of us are normal.
Easy to care for.
Yes.
Ones that make it easy.
The people who make it easy to care for them.
Okay.
The likable people.
Yes.
It's not difficult to care for those people, to be nice to them, because they're also nice.
Yeah, it's easy.
It is easy. It's a reciprocal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus say, if you only greet those people who greet you, how different are you from the pagans?
Not different.
Yeah. So what Jesus is talking about there is constructive respect.
Oh.
That's what we are calling constructive respect. This person does not deserve your respect. This person, under normal circumstances, you would not show them respect. But you choose to show them respect and concern.
Mm.
Yes.
Oh.
Does it make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
That's constructive.
That's constructive.
So you construct it like a
you make it happen.
Yes.
You make it happen.
Okay.
So we close by saying politeness is a powerful motivator for teamwork, for productivity, for loyalty in leadership. When members are treated well, they become slaves to the leader. That is a biblical, it is in the Bible.
Mm.
Whether it is biblical is a different story. There are many things in the Bible that are not biblical. But in 1 Kings chapter 12, the story of Rehoboam, son of Solomon, you might remember.
Yes, I do.
Rehoboam takes over from his father and he becomes the king. And the people come to him and say, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you.
Mm.
What a request. Rehoboam answers very well, and he says, go away for 3 days and then come back. Let me give this thing a thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's good leadership.
It is.
You don't answer on the spot.
Mm.
You go and reflect and think. He does a second very good thing. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father, Father Solomon, during his lifetime. And he asked them, how would you advise me to answer these people? Good leadership seeks counsel.
All right.
Especially from the elders.
Yes.
The elders replied in verse 7, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants or your slaves.
My version says, and speak good words to them.
That's, can you read that verse 7 in your version?
In this, my version.
Yes.
And they spoke to him saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever.
What a word. That was the advice the elders gave. Now read for us verse 8.
Verse 8, but he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer these people who have spoken to me saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him saying, thus you should speak to these people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges.
Wow. So that is the advice of the young man. Sadly, that's what he did. He rejected the advice
of the elders.
Of the elders. The elders said, treat these people with dignity. Treat these people with respect. Treat these people with politeness. Listen to their cry. Do what good leadership requires, and these people will be your slaves forever.
Mm-hmm. You won their hearts.
But he chose the path of indignity, rudeness, mistreatment, and his kingship didn't last long.
No.
Yeah. So that's what we are saying. That's what we are saying. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Blessings, Wamboi, and our very wise bishop, says Mom Kate Ngong. You are such a blessing. One thing I tell those who misbehave is that I thank God I'm not like you, and I do it graciously. All right, that's what she does. And on the issue of littering, another one here, I've always believed the same. If we are littered, how will the world end up? I trained my children never to throw anything in the streets or through the car window, and they have learned well. We always have a dustbin and a trash bag in the car.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Good practice.
Good practice. Unfortunately, another listener here, we Kenyans follow leaders who have bad manners as if we don't have an option. Bad-mannered leaders have bad-mannered followers. Bad-mannered leaders have bad-mannered followers. So sad.
Mm, true.
You will say it's true to that statement?
It is true, because bad manners, you go to an organization, you go to some organization, and right from the gate,
bad manners.
The bad manners. And you'll find it starts from the top. It starts from the top.
Oh.
Yes.
Then it cascades.
It cascades down. Because it is very unlikely that members of an organization or a team will be bad-mannered when their leader is not. They will tell you, boss will not accept that. Yeah. He will not tolerate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It starts from the top.
It starts from the top.
Interesting. Jessica, you had also asked that I kindly repeat number 3 for you. It is that you should use good manners for influence. All right. That was number 3, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was number 3.
Constructive respect is quite a hard task. Please expound more, especially if it involves your enemies, says a listener. Let me see how much time I have. Let me just read this and then we may come back. Justice Kiteme in Ruaka. Okay, thank you. I don't see like you had something as such. Good morning, Womboy. It's afternoon already. Okay. Tabasamu Shop from Mombasa. Thank you for tuning in. So I guess in the 1 minute remaining today, Bishop, you should wind up for us in prayer. So in the 1 minute, what do you think of that? It's a hard task, especially when you're dealing with an enemy.
Constructive respect is for enemies.
Mm.
Yes. Where Jesus says, do good to those who mistreat you.
That's around actually the turning the other cheek.
Exactly.
Scripture.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. So love your enemies and
yes.
Do good to those who
that hate you.
Yes. So for people who like you and people who are good to you, you don't need constructive respect.
Interesting. What did Jesus say was the reward? I think he said something like, then you will be sons of your heavenly
father. I don't remember that
who
promise.
Who causes his son to
rise up. Yes, yes. Now that you say it, yes.
Yes.
He does, he does. When it rains, even in your neighbor who is your enemy and is an enemy of God, they also get the same rain.
So the interesting. So the whole reward, we were talking about rewards.
Yes.
So the reward here is being like our Heavenly Father.
Part of it, but even beyond that, people will reward you if you're a good person. People will, you know, say for example, you are in a problem.
Yes.
Say you are sick in hospital. If you are a good person and a nice person to your members, they will flock there to come and pray for you. That is a reward.
It is.
It's a reward.
Down here.
Down here on earth. Mm. So it happens. Your child is wedding. They will bring gifts.
They will want to know how can we help.
How can we help?
Oh,
yes. But if you are rude, they will not appear. And you see, for us pastors, I know our time is almost gone. For us pastors, we see many things. Oh boy, if you may have noticed.
Yes.
There are some very senior people, great leaders, or let me say, in terms of position. And they are bereaved, or they, you know, or even they themselves die, and we are to conduct their funeral. So you are thinking, now we need to prepare our parking lot, you know, this place is going to be packed. Yes. Mm. Then you come into the service and there are no people. I don't know whether you have ever,
yes.
I have seen this over.
And over.
So you begin to wonder, what's the problem? You just wonder. Most likely, this person had things going that did not endear them to people.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So those things happen. But if you are a good person, I've conducted funerals here for people you never imagine that the people down, the place is packed.
I know.
Yeah, I tell you.
Thank you.
Makes
a lot of sense. So we will get to a different topic next time, is that
yes,
so?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, we'll
what
get
a great way of winding that up. We've learned. Let's practice. That's what we were told. We must practice what we are learning. Bishop David Oginde with us today for the Leadership Forum, and it happens every alternate Mondays here at Hope FM. My name is Wambo Mburu. God bless you.
Amen.
Join us next week, same time, for another episode of the Leadership Forum.